He's military, and he's a bit older than most MBA students. But today, he's attending the UC Berkeley Haas full-time MBA program. Let's hear his story. Welcome to the 223rd episode of Admissions Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" Not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today, David Middleton, graduated in 2003 with a degree in mechanical engineering from the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. Now, in 2003, many of his Haas classmates were in middle school, but that doesn't seem to bother him at all. Since 2003, he served in different capacities in the Coast Guard, most recently as operations officer and chief pilot, responsible for over 100 aviation personnel and the management of 6 helicopters, protecting 585 miles of coastline. And today, as I mentioned earlier, he's a full-time student at Haas, about to begin the second year of his MBA program. David, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for joining me. Can you give us a bit of background? How did you come to join the Coast Guard to start with?
Sure. I actually grew up in San Diego, and it's funny. I used to tell people that I didn't have an interest in leaving San Diego, and I really didn't have an interest in joining the military. So it's funny I find myself here, but it started off with a quick week-long orientation at the Coast Guard Academy. And once I got out of my little bubble of Southern California, I learned just kind of how big the world was. And when I was accepted to go to the Coast Guard Academy, I realized what a great opportunity that was.
Where is the Coast Guard Academy, by the way?
Sorry, the Coast Guard Academy is New London, Connecticut.
Okay.
So yeah, leaving San Diego for Connecticut was a big change, but I felt it was an incredible change, incredible experience. So I thought I'd give it a shot. And if it worked, I would stay. And if I could pursue aviation, I would do that. And lo and behold, it led me to 14 years of actually, I'm still active duty.
Wow. And why the Coast Guard? Why not the Navy or the Air Force or the other?
A lot of people ask me that. Yeah. And I think it was because I was a little intimidated at first by just how large those organizations were. And I was really set on staying in San Diego. And when I learned how small the Coast Guard was and what their mission was, I think that's what kind of was a selling point for me. I was really excited for the search and rescue, and I was excited for the aviation side of it, and being in a small school, I was able to play sports in college, and being in a small service was a real tight knit group, so that was really appealing.
Okay, had you done sailing and when you were in San Diego before you got the Coast Guard, or had you flown or anything like that?
No, nothing really.
Really?
Nothing really. It was I really thought I was going to just go to San Diego State and get an engineering degree and try and be an engineer. So it just really kind of changed my career path.
Right. Well, you did become an engineer. That part stuck, but I guess with a slightly larger view of the world.
Right.
What motivated you to get an MBA, and what did you do before you got to Haas?
So the motivation came, I think, partly work-driven. As I mentioned, I've been in for quite a while, and I've basically been an operator that whole entire time, you know, mostly flying helicopters. I did a little bit of time on a ship before that as an engineer. And I don't know if a lot of folks understand the military. I kind of describe it as an upper out system where you're always kind of getting looked at for that next rank. And if you can compete with your peers and take on those greater roles of responsibility. And I had felt I had gone so long as an operator. I think the biggest gap I had was advanced education. So I kind of knew that was probably my next step to continue to be promotable.
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at what degrees were available, I looked at it kind of in two ways. One, what would help me in the Coast Guard, but also what could help me whenever I did transition out. And so that's kind of where I set my sight on MBA.
I see. And so you were a helicopter pilot in the Coast Guard, and then you got in the chief pilot role where you were already in somewhat of a managerial role. Is that correct?
Yeah, I kind of stumbled across that job. I'd been a pilot for years, and we always have collateral jobs. So, for example, I was first stationed in Los Angeles, and I did public affairs. That was a great experience. It got me not only to kind of learn how to be a pilot, but just to learn how to deal with the public. And then when I was stationed in Alaska, I did a lot of aviation safety, so that was good. It was another interesting kind of side job. And then when I found myself most recently here in San Francisco, I was the assistant operations officer, and I was the kind of the head instructor pilot, and I really liked that role. But what had happened is my boss, the operations officer, the chief pilot, ended up retiring kind of last minute, so I had to fill his role for a year. So yeah, it was a unexpected change, a lot of leadership that I wasn't really ready for, I guess I would say, where you kind of just, on the job training or on the job execution really is what it was. I was still flying. I was still a pilot. I was still standing duty, but then I was overseeing kind of all operations and all the pilots and training and qualifications.
Wow. Okay. That's quite a jump in responsibility.
It was overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine. Let's move forward to actually applying to business school. What did you find most difficult in the application process?
Because I was in the job I was in at the time, everything. It was tough because, I guess for some context, what I ended up doing is I kind of knew that my time was running out. I had orders at San Francisco for 4 years, and I was on my last year, so I knew a change was coming. And that meant that Coast Guard could sign me somewhere differently. But I put in for a program that the Coast Guard has to send me to graduate school. And I didn't find out that I was accepted to that program until October, like late October, I think. So that's when the Coast Guard said, you are allowed to go to school. So I was applying in like November, December. So I'd already missed round one for pretty much every school. And so I felt pretty rushed. And so I guess to answer your question, the hardest part for me was, I think personally, I didn't do my due diligence. I probably didn't research it enough. I probably didn't give it the time it deserved. I was rushed there toward the end. And in hindsight, I'm just really thankful that I was able to kind of pull together like a 90% solution, because I don't know that I gave it my best because of all those factors, but, thankfully it worked out.
That's great. Wow. It sounds pretty rushed. So you had to take the GMAT, do your school research, and actually apply between October?
I think the one item that I had done was the GMAT. I think I had done that in the summer, just in case I was going to get accepted to the program.
That's smart.
So I had that under my belt. Unfortunately, I didn't really give that the attention it deserved either. So that was dealing with the GMAT score that was below what I wanted was something I had to deal with as well. And then, like you said, yeah, in the 2 month period of November and December was kind of the rush to get everything else done.
It sounds like it. When you interviewed at Haas in particular, what was the most memorable or difficult question you were asked?
The Haas interview, I think, was my third one, and I had gotten better each time. I don't know that any of them came across as overly difficult at the time, but one that I really remember, I think it was involving like a, have I ever had to make a difficult decision? And I think I really liked that one. I think I was ready for it because of my work experience. And I feel like when you're flying a helicopter, a lot of the times we're doing rescues and find yourself in some bad weather at night and, offshore, and just you and a couple of people in a little cramped space trying to make life and death decisions with usually minimal information. So I remember when I got asked that question, I think I told a story about a rescue and just kind of tied it all together. And so I was very thankful that I got that question, that I was able to kind of leverage my work experience and answer that one.
Do you want to tell us what you said, or you would prefer not?
It would be a long story, but it was about a rescue I had done locally here, where I had basically, we call it diverting for a case. I chose to divert myself instead of being told by our command center. And so I did kind of a risk assessment, and I thought that the person needed help. And even if it was going to cost me my job, I wanted to go try and see if I could help them. And it was a tough decision to make. I had a new person with me that wasn't qualified, so I kind of had to take some liberties there. And yeah, it's a long story. It's probably more than the time we have, but it worked out great. Luckily, the gentleman survived. He had fallen off a cliff, and
oh my goodness,
we were able to get him some help. So it worked out really well.
Okay, sounds like that would have been even a more difficult situation than applying to business school. More challenging. Yeah. Now you're at Haas. I met David, just to give our listeners a little context. I met David at the AGAC conference when he participated in a story salon for the consultants. And also I went to a table on student life at Haas, and he was one of the two students who spoke to us. And you seem quite happy with the program. But what are the best aspects of the Haas program in your opinion?
When I was applying, what stood out to me, and I think what they stood out to me then, and I feel like now I'm actually kind of living it, and I may have even mentioned this when we met when we were at Haas for the conference, was Really, I think the culture and the diversity, I feel like a lot of people kind of hear about that and they're aware that Haas has that strong culture and a knack for having a great diverse group. I think now that I've been there for a year, it's really palpable. Probably not saying that word right. You really feel it. And I think with the culture aspect of it, it's collaborative. It's people are nice. They're real and they're easy to talk to. And I wasn't sure I was going to get that. I felt like I was in a tight knit community where we really took care of each other in the military. And I wasn't sure I was going to get that in a school atmosphere. And I really do feel like I get that at Haas. And with the diversity side, I was seeking that because although I felt like I was coming from, you know, a diverse group of folks, I think that narrowed a little bit in my aviation military career. And now by being surrounded by internationals and people from all over the country, diversity of education, diversity of thought, that to me stood out a lot to where I kind of crave that. I really enjoy that.
Wonderful, wonderful. What do you think could be improved at Haas?
That's a tough one. If I look back at my first year, the thing that probably stands out the most was it was challenging, I think, space-wise for us to do group projects and to have meetings. And I felt like it was a little shoulder-to-shoulder when you were going to the library to get study room space. And I think that's been addressed over the years. And actually, now I'm really excited. So I start class on Monday. And I have not been in the new building, but we had three buildings when I was there last year, and the fourth one was under construction. So when I start class up for my next year here, I think this problem might be resolved. I think they've got a lot more space and a lot more meeting rooms. So
that's great.
Hopefully we're in a better spot now.
Now, what are some of the differences? I mean, you mentioned that on one hand, the Coast Guard has this very close-knit culture, and Haas has a very close-knit collaborative culture. What are some of the differences between the two cultures? Because I'm sure they exist.
There's a pretty big difference. I think for me, it's the first time I've kind of been a civilian again. Even though I'm still active duty, I'm out of uniform and I'm a student, you know, for all intents and purposes. So that that's a lot different. I'd say it's a little more relaxing. You know, I think the environment I was in was very structured. We had very strong chain of command. If I wasn't calling somebody sir or ma'am, they were referring to me as, you know, sir. Or by my rank, and if people were reporting to me, I was usually reporting to somebody else. And with Haas, it's not really like that. You're kind of more expected to figure out a lot, work with your classmates, you know, work with the faculty and staff, a little more autonomy, a little more independence. So that was a big change for me, but I like it. It's a nice little break.
Good. Now you're also slightly older, as I mentioned in the introduction, than most of your colleagues at Haas. Was it hard for you to return to student life?
Yeah, I noticed your intro. You made me sound old. no, it's funny.
It's not true. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the average age coming in is about 28, and I came in at 35. So I was probably, one of the oldest in my class. It was a little challenging to be a student. I think what happened is when I came out of my last job, I felt like I was juggling a lot, and I thought because I did well in undergrad, going to Haas should be manageable. And so I was commuting because my wife works a couple hours away. So I had to commute in just because it was a good halfway point for us. Mm-hmm. I thought I could manage the school work and the commute and everything fine. And what I actually found is my first semester, I got behind pretty quick. And that was a little eye-opening. And I don't know if that was because I approached it wrong or not, but I found the second semester that I really needed to kind of leverage the professors when I needed that help. I needed to reach out to my classmates and make sure I really hunkered down because the material was tough, the pace was fast, and I was really surrounded by, I think they were a lot smarter than I really, I guess, thought they were going to be. So to try and compete with my classmates just to, in a level playing field, I really had to give it my all. So yeah, it was tough to be a student again.
And I mean, the quarter system, had you ever studied on the quarter system before? Or Haas is on the quarter system, right?
They are. So that was basically the whole first year. It was mostly core classes. I guess that was pretty similar to what I had at the military academy. Okay. Because, we probably had our first few years of a core type of system.
What really surprised, was there anything that particularly surprised you about life at Haas?
I think I always knew going in that I'd be surrounded by some great folks. I think what surprised me the most is just how modest and unassuming and just how impressive everybody was. And even to this day, you know, you're in a social event, or I bring my wife down, we'll meet up with some friends and we'll meet a classmate and their partner and we'll just get to talking. And the more you get to know people, the more you realize, wow, not only has this person, you know, traveled a lot or had a phenomenal career before Haas, but that some of them have run their own businesses. Some of them were Ivy League, you know, top of their class. So that's, to me, it just blows me away how I've become such great friends and had such great relationships with folks. But every time I keep learning more about them, I just get more and more impressed. It's pretty amazing.
That's wonderful. Has the MBA program, and I know that Haas focuses a lot on leadership development, has it changed how your approach to leadership and to your work in the Coast Guard? As I understand it, you did your summer internship was basically working for the Coast Guard, wasn't it?
It was. They had me go back and work at one of our local bases here. You know, I feel like that leadership component is just a constant work in motion. I guess when you look at what I've been going through, so I feel like when I was, I referenced this earlier, when you're in the military, you kind of, it's not really on the job training, like it's really on the job execution. Like you kind of get thrown in a leadership role right away. And I think the military probably gives more responsibility and leadership to younger folks than just about anybody else does. So I felt like I had a lot of that. Now what I'm learning in the academic world is more like a research base, some different angles on why some things work and some things don't. And so I constantly find myself reflecting to what I did, if it aligned with what I'm learning and how I could kind of change that in the future. So I do see kind of a full circle going here. It's kind of fun to tweak things and learn from both practice and in study.
So like, can you give us an example?
One that I thought of recently was in our leading people class, and we were talking about performance evaluations. And I had, what's funny is my last job, I think I had done about 7, and here we are, we're looking at different ways to do them and the best ways to provide feedback. And I'm just constantly in my head thinking, how did I do that feedback? Did I sandwich it with positive and then do negative and then positive? So yeah, that was something that I'm kind of like referring to my notes and thinking like, what would I do in the future? Would I do the negative first? And so it's kind of fun to compare the two.
Do you ever find, like, let's say that there's something that's taken as truth standard operating procedure in the military, and you're learning that there's a completely different way to go about it, that way is wrong, and this way, you know, the way you're learning in school is right. And do you sometimes wonder which is really right? In other words, you've been taught two alternate views of truth, right and good. Has that ever happened?
I don't think I can think of like a specific example, okay. Mm-hmm. But what I am noticing is with the teachings, even with the teachings, there does seem to be several angles that they come at. So there's probably like the better answers, but there's also some other good and great answers in there too. So I don't know that I've seen like a hard set, this is the way we teach it versus this is the way he did it. Nothing that comes to mind right now.
Okay. What are your plans for after graduation?
So as I mentioned before, when I applied through the Coast Guard to attend school and I got selected for it, it was a sponsored 2 years. And okay. So they're going to have me return back, and really the way they get their return on investment is to put me in a role that is kind of more aligned with like a finance budget acquisition type role. So I'll do that. I'll go back to the Coast Guard and I'll give them my obligation and probably a little more. We'll see how that transitions. But, you know, Coast Guard's not life, just like with any military career. At some point I probably will transition into the civilian world. So I'm trying to start thinking about how to stack my cards for when I do get out as well. So that's probably the next 5 to 10 years. We'll see.
Well, if you're in accounting and finance role, you're not going to be flying helicopters. What do you think, you're going to miss that, or are you ready to move on?
You know, I get asked that a lot. I think I'm okay with that. And I think when I accepted this program and decided to go toward the MBA, I kind of knew that my flying career was probably in the past. And honestly, that was pretty demanding. The stress is involved, you know, throwing on the survival gear and going out at 2 a.m. For years on end. And it was, I think I'm ready for a break. I think I'm going to be okay with not doing that anymore. It was a great run, and I look back at all the positives, but I think I'm okay with doing something different.
Okay. What do you think you'll miss from your time at Haas when you're back in the military?
Well, I know I'll miss the people, but I'm hoping I can continue to build on those friendships. You know, I think I'm also going to miss just being a student. I know I had a great supervisor recently, and he had us reading HBR articles, I think weekly or biweekly. And that was fun to kind of get back into doing some reading. And I always studied my aircraft, so I was always studying then. But it was always kind of a side study. To be a full-time student is really enjoyable. I mean, it really feels great to dig into books and read articles. And I'm certainly going to try and keep that up, but I know it won't be nearly the same level. So I think I'm going to miss just being surrounded by people that are all craving knowledge and professors that are so knowledgeable. That's kind of a neat environment to be in.
Yeah. Where every day there's something new.
That is
exciting. Any tips for MBA applicants, specifically for those coming from the military?
Yeah. So the tip I tell folks is, I think I approached it wrong. I think I probably should have started a year out on getting my head wrapped around what it was going to take to get a good application together. So I know most folks probably are doing that. They're probably using the assistance of, you know, these podcasts and companies like yours. But for military specifically, I've come to learn that if you reach out to the Veterans Club or the active duty folks there at the program, they're always willing to help. And even I've had a lot of folks reach out to me and ask me what it's like either transitioning or doing it as active duty. And I don't think anybody's ever going to turn, you know, a fellow military member down. So I really encourage them to reach out, ask those questions, and you're going to be surprised how helpful they'll be toward just getting you what you need.
Okay. Do you think there were any special challenges for you coming from the military in terms of going back to school or going specifically to the Haas MBA program?
First one that comes to mind, I think what we talked about before, is being a student again. I was surprised how smart the folks were in the class and what they could provide. You know, especially as an engineering undergrad, I just didn't have the business classes that they had. I didn't have, you know, the consulting or finance experience they had. But from the military side, I don't know if that anything comes to mind specifically with the military transition. I guess, like I said, just trying to be a civilian was a little bit of a difference where, you know, in the military, rank is so structured and the chain of command is so structured, where here, you know, I might be older than a professor or younger than a student and it doesn't really matter, but in the military it kind of did. So that was a little different.
Okay. All right. Is there anything you would have liked me to ask you that I didn't ask?
Well, you know, it's always fun to talk about the Coast Guard and helicopters, but I think if we're looking at who our audience is, if they're folks that are interested in going to an MBA or graduate school, I thought maybe you'd ask about a favorite class or some of my classes.
Okay. What's your favorite class?
You know, like we said, I was in core and I did enjoy all the core classes because I had never had them before. So with all my engineering, I thought accounting and finance, they were fun. I really enjoy learning all that stuff, but I did take a couple electives this last semester and I took a real estate class that I really enjoyed. It was fun to be in a group of both business school students from the full-time and evening and weekend. I think I had a few lawyers in my group. We got to work on a great project locally where we got to design affordable housing for teachers, and we kind of built it from the ground up, ran all the finances, and so that was a really fun class. They actually called that one of the applied innovation classes that Haas is known for, where it's paired up with a problem framing, problem solving class, like a decision-making, design-thinking type class. So it was fun, yeah.
I think they even mentioned that project at the conference. I think I remember something about that. Maybe
I was asked to speak on that. Actually, I think maybe it was me that
was that at the story salon. Was that at the story salon?
I think it was afterwards when we had the sit down where folks were asking admissions and faculty questions, and one of the questions was about the applied innovation.
I
was asked to just give my example on it. It was always fun. It was kind of where you had to kind of figured out as you went, and I really enjoyed that design thinking aspect of it, where sometimes you don't even know what the questions are, so how you find the answers kind of thing.
And is the is design thinking that something that you found just in that class, or is it in more classes, multiple projects?
I think that's part of the whole business school, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think when you're working with a lot of these projects and team environments, there's a lot of that going on, and it's a little bit of a carryover from what I was doing before, where we never really knew how to solve our problems, so we were always having to kind of think on our feet. And I feel like I'm doing a lot of that in business school, too, and a lot of different classes. It's fun.
There's a certain creativity to it, to be sure.
And with everybody coming in from different backgrounds, it's great to get all the different perspectives.
Right, right. And what about favorite professors?
I ended up really enjoying my accounting professor, and I really enjoyed my real estate professor. Real estate to me is kind of a side interest. And then the accounting worked out really well because I was able to schedule some off class time just to kind of talk not only about class, but just kind of business in general. And so I was just really not only blown away by the backgrounds and the knowledge, but how open they were and willing to just talk with you in their office and set up a meeting. Really, that's probably going back to your previous question, what I'm going to miss. Mm-hmm. Pretty neat to be able to be surrounded by these impressive faculty and have them, you know, there for you and talk to you. It's pretty neat.
Right. Since we're saying something good about them, do you mind sharing their names of the professors that you're talking about?
Yeah, I should have said that. So my real estate professor was Nancy Wallace. And then my accounting professor was Omri Eventoff. And mm-hmm. Yeah, they were both.
All right. So
everybody's been great, but they're my favorite.
Okay. All right. So listeners, if you make it to Haas, make sure to look up those professors. David, I think we're just about out of time. I want to thank you so very much for your time and your insight. Where can listeners find you online or learn more about you or follow up with you if they have questions?
Yeah, absolutely. I always love when I can help out and I love when people reach out. So probably the best would be just reaching out through my LinkedIn page, I think would be a good starting point.
Okay. So we'll link to David's LinkedIn profile from the show notes at exhibit.com/223. If you'd like to contact him, go to exhibit.com/223. We'll also be linking to related resources from that page. Listener, thank you too for joining David Middleton and me for Admission Straight Talk's 223rd episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk and will help your friends get accepted. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.